Which pasuk?
Per Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Yim Yim. Vatabiti.
Sorry.
So Boaz is talking to Ruth, and he's calling her his daughter. The last time we spoke about the nace, that instead of cursing her,
he blessed her,
and he said that what she did was a chesed. It's a drastic turnaround. And we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that did that. Hashem did not want Ruth to be cursed.
He interfered with his babi.
Or at least he deserved. Boaz, by virtue of his life, the choices he made in his life, he deserved that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should prevent him from cursing Ruth. He said that there. Vatabiti, not my daughter Altiri, don't fear. Everything which you say, I will do for you. Your wish is my command.
He's like a genie.
Ki yedea kol sharami, because all the gates of our nation, all the gates of my nation, they are aware. Ki eshes chayalot, you are a woman of valor. What does this mean? He's promising her something. What does this mean? There's a problem here. What is Ruth going to ask of him? Is she going to ask of him that she should be redeemed? That he should be the redeemer. She wants him to be the redeemer. She wants him. He's the tzaddik. He's the gadol hador. He's the one with the spark of Mashiach. He's the one that's going to redeem the souls of her dear departed husband. He's the one. So she wants him. She chose him. There's two candidates. There's Boaz, and then there's Boaz's uncle Pliny Almini, whose real name is Taif. She picked Boaz. She saw the Hashkacha Pratis with Boaz. She went to his field. She didn't go to Pliny Almini. And as illogical as it was, because Boaz was on the last day of his life. So she says that Boaz should be the one to do the Yibum. He should be the Goyal, the Redeemer. And Boaz just told her that I will do whatever you say. So that means he is assuring her, he's promising her that she could direct the agenda here and he will do it. On the other hand, he doesn't have a free hand in the matter. He's not the closest relative. Yibum is done by the closest relative. So how could you promise something that you can't deliver? That's the problem. And the Mefarshim deal with this in different ways.
It wasn't taken care of, didn't he make the best in?
No, that's in the next parak. Oh. It was taken care of that she's permissible to get married to a Jewish young man.
Oh.
Or a Jewish old man. But they needed another tribunal to determine which Jewish man is going to marry her. So there's a commentary about the Nachal Eshkol. Nachal Eshkol clues us in. Yeah, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin at that time, they used to deal with different topics. Different topics would arise. There'd be shilas. There'd be areas of halacha that weren't clarified. And it would arise in the Sanhedrin, and the process, you know the process, you know, they fight it out and bring rayas and slug each other up, you know. And my Rebbe said this, and your Rebbe said that, and there's a brisa that says this, the Mishnah said that. And this was going on. This is an ongoing process of clarifying the halacha lemaisa of what Hashem said to us on our Sinai. At that moment that Ruth entered into Boaz's life, what topic was under discussion in the Sanhedrin? Whether someone from Ammon and Moab could enter Klal Yisrael. And there was no, it was random. There never was someone from Ammon and Moab that wanted to come into Klal Yisrael. It's like if all of a sudden in the yeshiva they decided, let's discuss the halacha lemaisa aspects. You know, they have these halacha svarim, muktzah kelchasa, sukkah kelchasa, tefillin kelchasa. All these halacha svarim that are coming out, especially, let's make a halacha sefer, reishis hagez kelchasa.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah, a complete how-to book of how to give the Kayin the shearings from your sheep.
Oh, okay.
I don't have sheep. I mean, if you have...
I have Kayin.
They can get it.
But I know you have Kayin. I'm just saying, you know, and then all of a sudden, you walk into Beis Medrash. We're going to learn, you know, in America, not here, people have sheep. You're in an urban center. You haven't seen a sheep in who knows how long.
Ever.
And then the Sanhedrin is talking about it. And then all of a sudden on that very day, you find out that some relative of yours left you a farm and you have 300,000 sheep. So wouldn't you freak out? Wow. What a... Bias! He said... They're talking about this in the Sanhedrin. It's something that never happened. Who knows if it ever would happen? And then you end up in my granary. Marry me. Hashkacha pratis. Hashkacha pratis. He said, obviously I'm supposed to marry you. But since the halacha wasn't clear whether I'm allowed to marry you, so in a Shemayim, they worked it out that in my Sanhedrin, he's in the Sanhedrin. But he's
in my Sanhedrin. Well, they wouldn't make
Well, that's only if the Shaila came before they discussed it. They discussed it Rachak Bo Maisa. The Gemara says this, that if they donned on something and then the Maisa came, he's not going to give it over. So the Mama says, you know, I am sure that that's the reason why he came up in the Sanhedrin, even though we didn't know it at the time. But I'm sure, and I'm confident that it's going to lead ultimately to me marrying you. But plenty of money has to be dealt with. We have to ask him, and he's going to turn you down. But we have to ask him. See, there's things going on two levels here. There's what's going on in the Shemayim, and there's the things that are going on Nigla al Oritz.
How do you know Plonimo is going to turn him down?
He's going to hold
because he knows Hashkacha Pratis.
He also knows that he's going to hold that.
Isn't that a vera on Plonimo's part that he has that he's doing this then? Because Plonimo is not supposed to turn him down.
Plonimo was not a respectable figure in our Messiah. He was not vera. We're not discussing the mitzvah of Yibam. What's under discussion is the minhag, the custom of Yibam. But he's still, the reason why his name isn't mentioned is because he's not deserving of any honorable mention.
Well, but shouldn't he...
And his name
I'm saying the Nisimbo is depending on him basically doing an Avera.
Not an Avera. The Mashiach and the Gula have to come from the proper... They have to come from the proper combination. Pliny Amoni had not worked on himself his entire life to gear himself towards this goal, and Bayez saw the signs in the Shemayim that was true.
And he knew that he wouldn't make the decision to...
He was able... Bayez understood the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world. He understood... You know, he was the God Lador.
Did Pliny Amoni have the Bechira to choose to marry Rus?
You could have the Bechira to choose to marry Rus, and someone could still know ahead of time what you're going to choose. And that's... Why did Chizkiyahu separate from his wife? Because he saw that his son's going to be a Rasha. But his son still had a Bechira not to be a Rasha. This is something which we have other examples of. The Yigeri Shmuel. So there's two levels. There's Min HaShemayim and there's Ala Oritz. Ala Oritz, Pliny HaMoni is the closer relative. Pliny HaMoni has to be approached first. And we have no way of knowing that Pliny HaMoni is going to do or not, whether he's going to do it. But Min HaShemayim, Boaz is completely confident in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having the events unfold. Yigeri Shmuel says that this halacha that a Mayavia is mutter, a female member of Mayav is mutter, was something that wasn't publicized, it wasn't well known. There's only one, it's confined to one group of people.
Right,
so Bayez says,
he's not
going to
know.
Pliny HaMoni is not a member of the Sanhedrin. So Bayez had confidence that he's going to be the one to do it, because he's the only one, the only relative
that knows
the halakha.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he tell Pliny HaMoni that you can marry her?
Obviously he's saying that you
people
can marry
don't want to throw away their future based on halacha that they just found out about. We're going to see that later. The Pliny HaMoni is going to tell Bayez, I accept that that's the halacha, but you will know what the halacha is, and I know what it is, but no one else does, and no one's going to marry my children. So Bayez knew this. Any more questions? No, it's dealing with the reality. He's not willing to take on himself the destiny if it's going to cost him. It did cost David HaMelech. At the time when David HaMelech was alive, it was very, very unclear whether he's allowed to get married. It did cost. Pliny HaMoni wasn't fabricating things. He wasn't exaggerating. You find an interesting parallel in the language the Bayez uses. He says, "Kala shetaymi esalok, whatever you tell me, I'm going to listen." He's Bayez, an 80-year-old Gadol Hadar, is telling a Rus, a newcomer to the religion, who entered into his granary in the middle of the night and almost got turned into dust, "Whatever you do, whatever you say, I'm going to do." I mean, just even the choice of words is amazing. "Whatever you say, I'm going to do." Why would he say that? Rav Moshe David Vali points out that these words we found before in Megillas Rus. In Parak Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
Right, where you will go, I will go, what you will do, I will.
No, after that. Oh. But you're true. That's related. That is related, because Rus was consistent. But he's referring to Parak Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Not Pasuk Chaf, I'm sorry. Parak Gimel. Pasuk Hey. When Naomi told Rus that she should bathe herself, anoint herself, go down to the granary, so Rus responded, "Vatayme alel." Rus said to Naomi, "Kalash etayme, whatever you say to me, Esa, I'm going to do." It's the same words.
What did it mean there?
It meant that even though I don't agree, Rus didn't agree. She didn't think she couldn't bring herself to go to a granary where Bayez was sleeping. But Naomi, since you say so, I accept it and I'm going to do it. If you remember, we said that Rus was expressing the ultimate in self-negation. She was mevatelzich. She was mevatel herself. The word Eli is pronounced, but it's not written. I mean, we said that at the time. And she said, "I recognize that this is the word of God. I recognize that this is that God is speaking through you, Naomi. And I'm going to do it because I don't take up space." Rav Moshe David Vali said that these words are thrown back at her, or they're reflected back at her. By Bayez. Bayez has used the exact same words at her because it was like a mida keneged mida, that she was mevatel herself, and she ignored her own being, her own sense of self, in light of the greater master plan of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she saw that Naomi was speaking the word of God. So in turn, you know, when someone is an anav, when someone is existing only to give over the word of God, when someone has the character refinement that Rus had, so when she speaks, so then when someone hears Rus speaking, what are they hearing? They're also hearing the word of God. You know, if a Rebbe is always saying over things over from his Rebbe, who always said over things from his Rebbe, you pay attention, because you're confident that Rebbe is not blowing his own horn, and he's not just trying to take up space. You know, when you say things, you always attribute the words to the source. You know, Kalayim Adavim B'Shem Amrei. So then people pay attention, because this is not about Gaiva that's trying to build himself up. He's just trying to give over what he heard from others who heard from others who heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No, it's not an opinion. It's a fact.
It's a fact. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Bayez uses the same words. Kalash Shetaymi, whatever you say, I'm going to do, because that's the way it goes. You are saying over the words of Hashem, and I listen. When God talks, I listen. Pasuk Ki Yader Kol Shar Ami Ki Yeshes Chayelot. Rav Moshe David Vali says something very, very penetrating in the last phrase of this pasuk. Everyone knows you're an Yeshes Chayel. Like, what did we need to know that for? Everyone knows you're an Yeshes Chayel. Rav Moshe David Vali says that this Shaila. Now, this is going to be a little bit different than the Igeres Shmuel we said before. Okay, so don't jump on me. This Shaila of Mayavi Vilei Mayavia, that someone from Mayav could convert, providing they're female, this Shaila, you know why they cleared it in the Beis Medrash? They never thought of clearing this in the Beis Medrash. They only cleared it because they heard what an Eshes Chayel you are. you came here, you're the first convert from Mamon Amayev, and they heard what an Eshes Chayil you are. The Targum says, what does Eshes Chayil mean? I'm combining the Targum with the Ramesh Daud Vali. What does Eshes Chayil mean? You're a tzedekis, and you have the strength to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Hashem. It takes a tremendous amount of power. You're a tzedekis, and you have power. You're a strong woman. You've got power. And then that's why they had the Shaila in the Sanhedrin, where the someone from Amon and Moav, if they convert, could they enter into Klal Yisrael? Because until you came, they never had declared a Shaila, because they never thought that anyone from Amon and Moav could ever be that. So what's the point? But since you're an Eshes Chayil, they said, now it's Halacha L'maisa, and now we have to determine whether this woman could marry into Klal Yisrael, because now we know that it's Halacha L'maisa. It's relevant. So this is a departure from the pshat I told you from the Igeres Shmuel.
Well, not necessarily.
Yes, it is, because the Igeres Shmuel says that they had the Shaila independent of her. Oh. Right, but that's, you know, Ayin Panam L'Tayr. It's Ayin Panam L'Tayr. Pasuk Yud Beis. Ve'ata now.
Yo, brother.
Ve'ata now. Now. Now, that means without hesitation. And now. Ki amnam, it's true. Amnam means emuna. You could believe in it. You could trust in it. Ki goyal anechi. I am a redeemer. I'm a redeemer. Yes, I'm saying a redeemer. I am a redeemer. V'gam yesh goyal karav mimeni, but there's a redeemer that's closer than me. So Boaz is saying, I am a redeemer, but I'm not the redeemer. And this is problematic. Now, that's interesting, you know, Sefer Ruth has a number of words that they're written and they're not pronounced, or they're not written and they are pronounced, and that attests to the hidden nature of Sefer Ruth. Just the fact that that exists, it shows that Sefer Ruth has a totally different level to it, you know, that's a hidden level. But in this pasuk, there's a word here that's written in the scroll, but the Balkari doesn't read it. So it's the opposite of something that's not written and it's pronounced. This is written and it's not pronounced. And it says, Ki im gayal anaychi. Ki im. Ki im gayal anaychi. So the word im is written, but it's not pronounced.
Wait, ki im is not pronounced or just im?
The word im is written, but it's not pronounced. Now, there's two ways of understanding it, two opposite ways of understanding it. When you put ki together with im, ki im means only. It's like a double exclusive. It's like a double exclusionary clause. Ki im.
Double
because nine. If, you know, because if ki im only. Loosely translated as only. Ki'im. Ki'im means only.
So.
Ki'im. I am the only Goyal. So that means the beginning of the Pasuk contradicts the end of the Pasuk. Because Ki'im means I'm the only Goyal, and then the end of the Pasuk is saying there's a Goyal that's more Karav than me. So Rav Moshe David Vali explains that. He said because there's a Gzeira in Shemayim that I'm going to do it. It's already been decreed in heaven that I'm the only one. And I'm going to be the only one. But that's in Shemayim. It's not revealed down here. So that's why the word im is written, but it's not pronounced. It's written because it's like it's written down in Shemayim. It's like decreed in Shemayim, and it's already written in Shemayim that I'm going to be it. But it's not pronounced because pronouncing it would reveal it in this world. So again, we're talking about the two levels. There's the Shemayim and then there's the Eretz. So that's why it's written, but it's not pronounced, because in Shemayim it's Nigzav, it's not Eretz. That's Rav Moshe David Vali.
What's hidden over there?
You don't pronounce it. So what's hidden is because no one knows that Boaz is the only one yet. There's a closer relative.
Okay, I see.
Rav Shlomo Alkovitz on this pasuk, he has a totally different approach. And he focuses on the word im without putting it next to the word ki. So just the word im itself, without ki, what does that mean? The word im without the word if.
41.
Ki im means only. But im itself means if. So Shlomo Akovitz says that the word im, it's written in the Torah, but you don't pronounce it. Because on one level, he was telling me he's going to do it. But on another level, he was iffy about it. Because he didn't feel that he was worthy to marry Rus. And that's also an amazing, amazing, amazing thought. That the Gadol HaDor did not feel that he was worthy to do it. She wants him to do it. And Navi is telling him that he's the one to do it. The messages are clear. But on some level, he feels inadequate. This is not for him. Someone else has to redeem the neshama of Machlan. Someone else has to redeem Klal Yisrael. So that's, on some level, he felt that he couldn't be the one to do it. There's so many lessons of Midas in Sefer Rus that the greatest of peoples are the ones that they feel inadequate. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lini Alayla, you sleep tonight. Lini is singular. The reason why it's singular, this is a Rashi. Lini, he didn't say we're going to sleep tonight. He said you are going to sleep. Rus, you are going to sleep tonight. That's indicative. That's what he told her, because they're going to sleep separately. He said, I'm not going to do the mitzvah tonight. Tonight is not going to be the mitzvah Yibum. And you're not going to have a husband tonight. Lini Halayla. You are going to sleep alone tonight. But sleep right here. Vahaya Baboker, and in the morning, Im Yigaleich, if he redeems you, Plenty Amani, Taiv. That's good. Yigal. So then he'll redeem you. And if he doesn't want to redeem you, I will redeem you. Chai Hashem, he made a swear. He swore that he's going to redeem her. Shikvi at a biker, lie down till the morning. So he made an oath that he's going to do it.
That's only if the other one doesn't.
That's the push-up shot, but you know, he made an oath he's going to do it. He said, we're going to give him the chance to do it. If he does it, good. But
thing is, usually that would make sense if he said Chai Hashem first.
Right, I know.
He didn't double it.
He made a shvua he's going to do it.
I thought he died the next day. It was the day after that day?
He died the next night is when he married her. They woke up in the morning. He went to Beis Din.
He went to Plenty Almoni.
Yeah, and then he married her that night.
And then he did it, and then he died the next day?
He died, yes.
Well, so she got married inside Shiva?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so there's actually, on this Yigalech Taiv, if he redeems you, Taiv, it's good. So there's a couple of pshatim that I saw on this. The Alshuk says that Pliny Amini's real name was Taiv. So the Bais is saying, "Im Yigalech Taiv, if Taiv redeems you." Instead of saying "Im Yigalech, comma Taiv," so when you read "Im Yigalech Taiv," there's a commentary from the Sefer called the Sherish Yishai. The Bais was saying that you don't want Pliny Amini to redeem you because he's ashamed not to. It's embarrassing. Here you have a minig, a custom, that the closest relative is supposed to buy back the lands, restore the ancestral homelands, and marry the widow of the dead relative. And it's a public thing. And it's going to be hard for him to turn it down. So Bais says, that's not the way it's going to be. If he redeems you out of the goodness of his heart, So then Yigal, so then that's acceptable. Then he can redeem you. But if he's not going to redeem you out of the goodness of his heart, so then I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
so that's the way he reads
it.
And Yigal, sure, you could talk to him. You could always find a way, you know, to get someone to give over to Boaz the covet of marrying her, especially if Pliny Hermione really doesn't want to do it. It's called giving a way out. If someone's doing it because they're embarrassed, you give them a way out.
So that, you know, if he does it because he's embarrassed, that means it's not out of the Tov.
Then, right, it's not out of the Tov, and then I'm going to do it. So the way you'd read the Pasuk is, Im Yigalech Tov, if he redeems you out of good intentions, Yigal, so then he will redeem you. But if not, you know, if he's not doing it out of good intentions, he's just doing it out of shame, so then I'll do it. B'sheder.
How old was Tov?
Well, he was Boaz's uncle, and Boaz was 80.
Isn't the only reason why you're supposed to have Yibum is so you could have kids, right?
Yeah, but because not out of shame. Shame is not, that's
no,
not the
same
thing.
No, but I'm saying because you didn't have kids with the other husband, right? So now if you're going to marry a guy that's like 90-something, you know, then, or whatever, like, he's not going to be able to have kids with...
Yeah,
with,
that's one of the... I told you, Shlomo Alkabit said that Boaz said the word im because he didn't think it was worthy. That's one of the things... If Shlomo Alkabit says that, that's one of the things that he didn't think he was worthy of. He's not worthy of producing children. But the thing is, this man is not running the show here.
How old is this?
This was 40. Man is not running the show here. This is God's running the show. So if God picks Boaz, he's gone. He can't, you know. If God wants an 80-year-old man to produce a child, then an 80-year-old man...
Is it still possible for him?
Our entire like existence relies on a 99-year-old man that had a child.
Yeah, but in those days, people lived so much.
Well, no, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
And even
years.
So, the
not in the time of Avraham Avinu.
Can a man produce children as long as much longer than a woman?
No, it's a malam midrach hatavra for him to have children at that age.
47 is not like healthy.
No, I'm saying it's
like a whole other lifetime.
Avraham Avinu was judged to be medically sterile at the time when he had Yitzchak. He was incapable of producing children. Sarah said that. I mean, he couldn't. It was a nace. And this was also a nace.
Also.
The Rosh Dabba Valley has a kasha, which bothered me. I just saw this today. He said, why? You know, it was dark. It's in the middle of the night. Tell her to go home now. Did this ever bother you?
Yeah.
Why is he telling her to stay until the morning? And he tells her to leave before it gets light.
Right.
So he must have given her a flashlight or something, you know. Why take the chances of having a... We said it's mutter to have yichud with an unmarried woman in those days. It was mutter. And she was a tahira, she had gone to the mikveh. It was mutter because the isser of yichud with a pnuyah is the rabbanan, and that was enacted in the times of David HaMelech, which was four generations later. So it was mutter. But why? Why?
Well, she's going around wandering around in the middle of the night.
He's sending her out before the morning anyway. The Chazal say, the Medrash says it was 6 hours. It was 6 hours until he sent her away. Why have 6 hours? Ramesh David Vali tells us two things. He tells one thing is he wasn't worried about doing an Avera because he had mastered himself and he had passed the test. He had passed whatever Nisayan he had, he was aimed in it and he had passed the test. But he is planning in the morning on taking on the world. He's going to take on the world. He is going to go to the Sanhedrin. And he's going to publicly begin a process of redemption. And he's going to have to work it in a way that he's the one that does it against all odds because there's someone that's closer. He's circumventing the natural process. And he's not going to do it for some woman that's not totally l'shem shemayim. Ramesh David Vali said he was testing Rus. He said, if she had one iota, one small, minuscule amount of a lack of L'shem Shemayim, if she had one minuscule amount of brazenness, or gaiva, or taiva, you know, of immorality, of impropriety, you know, if she had any last vestige, remnant of Amun and Mayav left in her, in those 6 hours, it's going to come out. If she's able to stay with him for 6 hours, and be a tzaddikus, and be a tahira, and l'shem shemayim, And you could detect it by the way people act and the way they express themselves. So that's the final simon that he needs to redeem her.
Was the first thing or the second thing?
I said two things. Number one, he was confident he was not gonna do an avera. Yeah. And the second thing is he was motivated to test her. You need both of them. You can't test a woman to see if she's l'shem shemayim if you're not confident in yourself. It's awesome to do that. 2 points on Moshe Dovid Valley. And that's just simply amazing. You look at Rashi. Rashi complements this. The pasuk says, "Boaz made a shvuah." Rashi says the shvuah was he made a shvuah, binding his yetzahara that he's not going to have any relations with her outside of marriage. He's not going to do yibum now. There's going to be nusuin. There's going to be a kedushin. There's going to be a chuppah. And it's not going to be now. Not the way that Nami planned it. And he made a shvua that he's not going to do it. He was mashbia as Yitzray. He bound himself in a shvua that it's not going to be now. The pasuk gedalad. Vatishkav margalaisav. She lie down by his feet. Ad habayker until the morning. Atarakam, and she got up, Beterem Yaker Isashreyu, before it was light enough for one man to recognize his fellow man. Vayemer and Vaya said, Al Yivada, it should not be known, Kivaa Haisha Hagairin, that the woman came to the granary. So a number of things that need clarity in this pasuk. Why does it say she slept by his feet?
Who asked this?
The commentary, Ibn Yichya. Why does it say that she slept by his feet? Why is that important to us? She went to sleep. If she went to sleep, then that's all we have to know. The Ibn Yichya says because when she came into the granary in the first place, Nami instructed her to go down, uncover his feet, and lie down by his feet. That was her instructions from Nami. So she came into the granary, she uncovered his feet, and she lied down by his feet. Then Boaz had this great discovery. She's not a shade because she is here. And he didn't curse her, and he blessed her, and he swore to her he's going to take care of it. And she lies down by his feet. Why did she lie down by his feet? The Ibn Yichya says, how could you not be besimcha from such tyra? He said, because She from the time she came in there until the morning, she remained in the same place for 6 hours, never budging an inch. Why? Because she had no plans of budging an inch. She was a shliach. Nami said, go in there, uncover his feet, and lie down. And that's exactly what she did. She went in there, she uncovered his feet, and she lied down. And that's why when she went to sleep, it was by his feet, because that's where she was. To get up, to move, would be taking initiative. She's not taking initiative. A woman who's coming to do an aveira in the middle of the night takes initiative. She gets up and she does things, chas v'shalom. But the only way that she could justify being in this position in a man's granary with him alone at night is because she's not doing anything on her own. She's only doing exactly what Nami said. This is God l'shem kamayu. Ibn Yichya, she slept by his feet. I don't know how much to spoil from this. Boaz said no one should know that a woman came to the granary. Pasha Pshat, who was he talking to when he said that? The Pasha Pshat is he's talking to the young lads that they definitely found out about this. You can't hide it. There were people, he had his workers, but they were loyal. His loyal retinue, his loyal servants. Someone's got to know. And he told them, You might not understand what she's doing here, but I don't want this to get out.
Who's his?
That's just Pashup Pshat. I mean, I'm telling you to Pashup Pshat because I'm leading into something else. But Yemer and Baya said, who did he say it to?
Didn't Pashup Pshat did say it to Rus?
No.
Because it's obvious that
well, she's telling no. Don't tell anyone else. Don't tell anyone.
No. That's not... No.
Because he said the woman.
The Targum... You want a name? The Targum says that he said it to his young lads. Okay. He instructed them that they shouldn't tell. This is something they shouldn't reveal. It says, Kibah Isha. That means he's not talking to her. He's talking to someone else. The Alshuk says that this is not the intent. Rus went to sleep. What was Bayez doing the whole night?
Davening.
He was davening the whole night. And he was saying, Rabbeinu Shalalom, you know that I didn't touch her. And I didn't even have an improper thought about her. And my heart is pure. And I never did anything wrong. And this was brought upon me. And I'm 100% nucky. I'm clean. I'm pure from this. Hashem Chas V'Shalom, if people find out that she was here, it's not myself that I'm worried about. It's not myself I'm concerned about. I didn't do anything wrong. Why is it sure? He's going to go to Elam Haba. He's going to go to Gan Eden. But what about the Chil Hashem Shemayim? What about the desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? People will think that the God Lador did something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, he was davening the whole night for the covet of Hashem, for the covet of two. He was diving the whole night for the covet of Hashem, and he was diving for the covet of Rus. He said, Hashem, I will survive this. I'm a tzaddik. He knew he was a tzaddik. Everyone knows me. I'll say that she came. I never asked her to come. I didn't touch her. And I sent her away. And people will believe me. I'll be okay. But no one's going to believe her. She's from Ammon and Moav. He was more concerned for her than for himself. He was more concerned for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation. Even if they do believe something about me. But it's going to be a Chil Hashem Shamayim. He spent the entire night, 6 hours, davening and crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are the words of his prayer. What are the words? Al Yivada Ki Bo Yish Hagan. Let it not be known that a woman came to the granary. That's the Alshech. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayemer, and he said, Havia mitpachas, give me your turban. Mitpachas, yishmata. Give me your shawl. Mitpachas is something that, it's an article of clothing, she covers herself with it. Mitpachas asher alayach, which is upon you. Give me your covering. Va'achsiba, and hold on to it. Va'taychasba, and she held on to it. Vayamet sheish ta'aron, and he measured out 6 parlis. Vayasha salah, and he put it on her. Vayavaya ir, and he came to the city. We discussed
the barley.
The barley. Pashup Pshat in the pasuk, because he's telling her to hold on to it, because he's giving her a lot. I'm saying, you know, if you're wondering why he's telling her to hold on to it, and she did hold on to it, the Targum learns Pashup Pshat at the time. Because he gave her a lot. He gave her 6 saw. 6 saw is like enough for someone to eat for, I don't know, it's like a lot. It's she can't, you can't carry 6 saw. It's a lot.
Where did he go to?
A saw is enough for 12 meals. So 6 saw is 6 times 12. That's 72, it's 72 meals, you know. He gave her 72 meals. So of course he told her to hold on tight to the shmata, to the covering. And she held on to it because she's holding enough for 72 meals. The Gemara has a kasha on this. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, how is it possible? They gave her so much. She can't carry so much. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Gimel. The Gemara is it's a lot. And because of the question, the Gemara says he didn't give her so much. He didn't give her 6 sa'ah. Sa'ah is Samach Aleph Hei. He didn't give her 6 sa'ah. He gave her 6 barley grain. So you're really going extremes, you know. It went from 70 meals for 72 people to six little barley grains.
Snack.
Six little barley grains. It's a, it's a, you plant it, and then you grow six stalks of barley, and then you take the seeds from that, and you can plant that, and eventually you can have a lot. But it's not a snack. Six, you know, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara says he didn't give her such a large amount, but the Targum says he did. Zuck the Targum, he told her, hold on to your shmata, hold on to your cloth, and really tight, I'm going to put it in. And he starts piling it in, and it got heavier and heavier and heavier, and Zuck the Targum. That she drew strength from Hashem to hold on to it. So there was a nace here. So that's the Targum shot in the Pasuk. There's a nace here. He wanted to give her that amount, and he didn't want her to be limited by the constraints of nature. He just kept giving and giving and giving. Well, she had kayak from Hashem. Yes, it was heavy. But she had the strength to carry it because Hashem gave her the kayach. Hashem gave her the kayach. That's the Targum. But the Bavli, the Gemara, says no. The Gemara says he gave her six barley grains. The Gemara says, Akasha, what's the point in giving her six barley grains? It's a remez. She's going to have six descendants. He's telling her the future.
Also, it's not burnt this time.
It's not burnt this time, but still barley.
So she could actually plant it this time.
I would say it's not heavy, but
it takes
up a lot of space.
Right. So what do the six barley grains represent?
She's going to have six kids. There's two versions what the six kids are. The Gemara's version is David HaMelech. Daniel. Hananiah. Mishael. Azariah and Mashiach. That's one version.
David, Daniel.
Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mashiach. That's one version. And we saw another version. Now, David and Shlomo are one. David and Shlomo are one.
And Mashiach.
Mashiach. And another version. What? Is David. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Yeshaya HaMelech. How many is that so far? It's three. Daniel, it's four.
Wait, David, Chizkiyahu.
Yeshaya, it's three. Daniel is four. Daniel's friends is five.
Daniel's his friends.
All three of them, Hanani, Mishael, Vazai, are all counted as one. Because they were a triumvirate. They worked together. And then Mashiach. So if you count Hananiah, Mishael, Vazai as three separate people, then you take out Chizki and Yeshaya. If Hananiah, Mishael, Vazai count as one, so then you put in Chizki and Yeshaya. And these six are going to be blessed with six blessings. The six blessings are... Chachma. Bina.
Das.
Eitza, Gevura, Das, and Yiras Hashem. Ramachus is the seventh. Yiras Hashem. I'll do it again. Chachma, Bina, Eitza, Gevura, Das, and Yiras Hashem.
In such order?
Yes, it's a pasuk. V'nachalav ruach Hashem, ruach Chachma Bina, ruach Eitzeg, ruach Das V'yit, ruach Das V'yit Hashem. There's one more thing I'd like to share with you on this pasuk. It's unbelievable. We have some more time, right?
No.
We have more time.
Why not?
That's according. So we had one view according to the Targum that he gave her enough food for 72 people. The Gemara said he gave her six barley grains, which is not enough for any peoples. And then you have the Malbim.
Oh yeah,
Malbim.
The Malbim says that he gave her a sixth of a saw. which is known as a kav. You've heard of a kav bar ba'amos.
Mm. Oh, a kav of corn.
A kav, because there's six kav in a saw. He gave her a sixth of a saw, which is a kav. And a kav is two meals. Why two meals? One for Rus.
And one for him.
And one for Nami.
Oh.
One for Rus, one for Nami. He gave her a kav of barley, which is enough for two meals. It's a sixth of a saw, and it's enough for breakfast. The mama says, why did he give her breakfast? He was giving her a remes. He said, this is the last meal you're going to have to accept as charity for me. I'm giving you breakfast. What's going to be with dinner? By dinner, you're going to be my wife. So he was being meramez her that he's taking care of it. Atta, he's taking care of it right now. We have a year, and then he came to the city. He dropped her off. He came to the city. Pasuk to Zion.
Another pasuk.
Yeah, how can we stop?
I'm so tired of writing.
Is that like the same about
Rosdell? Rosdell's here already?
I don't think he started sure yet. I mean,
okay, we'll start.
But he's right outside. That's happened during a little.